Hello and welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. We're glad you've joined us for our final article in the month of May. It's an inspiring innovation article entitled Apps for African Orphans. I'm your teacher, Josh, and I'm glad you've joined us for an interesting two-day discussion about how a young person in America is putting her skills to use to help others. And I've got two selfless teachers with me today in the studio. First, I have Lois here. Hi, Lois.
Hi, Josh. It's good to be here today.
You've taught quite a bit this month in the advanced class.
I sure have. I've really enjoyed it. Sometimes it stretches me, but that's a good thing.
We've talked about Israel and Ebola and Starbucks.
And a former king or a dead king.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And we're ending the month with an interesting story about apps.
Right. And it looks good.
It does. And Steve has joined us as well. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Josh. Hi, listeners. Great to be back talking about apps. And we're going to highlight the life of this very remarkable young lady.
That's right. Maybe you're a young person studying English and you don't think you can make a difference in the world. Well, you're wrong. One person and some big dreams can definitely make a difference in the lives of others. Well, we're almost to the end of May, so I am really hoping you have your May Advanced magazine by now. I'm hoping you have your June magazine.
Right. They need to have that by now, Josh.
That's right around the corner. So open your magazines to pages 42 and 43. As we read this article entitled Apps for African Orphans. And when I first read that title, Lois, I thought maybe we were going to be buying apps for the orphans.
That's what I thought, too. And when I first read it, I went, APPS. Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about apps.
I was thinking, why does an African orphan need an app?
Yeah, maybe.
There are probably very few of them have cell phones.
I'm guessing
and iPads.
iPads are probably in short supply in an African orphanage.
Yes.
But that's not quite what we're going to talk about, right?
Right. The apps for African orphans in this sense means that apps are being made and developed, and their sale, the money that comes from the sale of these apps, will go to the orphans.
That's right. And we have that little picture there. At the top, that's kind of icons we use on your phone to talk about the types of apps you have.
Right. And I actually, well, we shouldn't go ahead of ourselves. We'll see some other pictures the next day on the next page.
Mm-hmm. And you can actually go to this girl's website or the iTunes store and learn about some of these apps that we're going to talk about today. But it's an interesting article. What does our deck say, Steve?
It says, meet a teenage girl who saw a need and undertook an effort to help kids.
Hmm.
So this girl is very special because she's a teenager, and I think it's unusual for kids this age to be concerned about people on the other side of the world, to have a heart to help people. It's not usual, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, you hate to stereotype, Lois, but a teenager is pretty self-absorbed.
They're pretty self-absorbed. They're not selfless, unfortunately. Most are selfish.
Yeah.
And maybe us parents have caused it in making teenagers or young adults feel entitled. And maybe her family didn't do this. So this is going to be a refreshing article for us.
Not only that, but she's self-motivated, which is another thing that makes her unique in her age group. I think there's a lot of teenagers who are pretty passive and indifferent about things going around the world. And this young lady is very special in that way.
That's right. We hint at this is not a quick fix to the problem. She undertook this effort, Lois, meaning it's going to take a while.
That's right. And the fact that she undertook it, I think right away, it's not an easy thing to undertake. As you said, Josh, she's going to stay with it. She's going to follow it through.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to find out it's going to be a long haul, right? She's making pretty small progress selling apps to help these kids. She needs more people exposed to her concept. So I'm glad we're using our platform here at Studio Classroom to draw some attention.
Exactly. I think this seems like a selfless act to do, and I really hope our readers have Maze magazine so they can be a part of this.
Mm-hmm. It's an article taken from the San Jose Mercury News. And San Jose, we're going to talk in a second about Silicon Valley, but it's certainly an area of entrepreneurship right now, right?
Yeah, and wouldn't you say San Jose is kind of in the heart of Silicon Valley, right?
Absolutely.
So this makes sense that the article comes out of this town.
South of San Francisco.
Have you ever lived there?
Never lived there,
okay.
But I visited quite a bit.
All right, just wondered.
I had Cisco, a big technology company, as a client of mine.
Okay, I've heard of them.
And they're based there. And, yeah, it's a very fast-moving, high-tech-driven society there in San Jose.
I can understand why.
Well, we're going to get started with our article. We'll ask Steve to read, and we're going to read the first half of the second column as well on page 42.
Apps for African Orphans. Meet a teenage girl who saw a need and undertook an effort to help kids. Among the legions of tech-savvy millennials who are launching Silicon Valley startups and websites at a feverish pace, it's hard to find one more inspiring than 17-year-old Soraya Shivji. After teaching herself to program iPhone gaming apps and getting them posted on Apple's App Store, the teen is using them, along with a crowdfunding campaign she began in 2014 on her website, Riziki Toto, to raise money for African orphans so they can become self-sufficient. So far, Riziki Toto has generated about $1,300 for the children, with money from each app designated for a particular child. Supported by Girls Who Code, a national nonprofit group that seeks to close the gender gap in technology and engineering, Soraya's efforts have deeply touched Penny Baziga, director of programs at the Ugandan orphanage Bright Futures Home. "I would write a book, if asked to, about Soraya, together with her family, about the love and strong relationship they have with Bright Futures Home," Baziga said in an email. In the tradition of many entrepreneurs, Soraya envisions taking the concept much further. She talked about her plans in an interview, which was edited for length and clarity.
Thank you, Steve. How do we begin our lesson, Lois?
Well, it says, among the legions of tech-savvy millennials who are launching Silicon Valley startups and websites at a feverish pace.
Whoa, stop there.
Okay.
There are a lot of good words in that first sentence.
Right.
Let's break it down a little.
Well, I like the word legion. We don't always use it a lot. It's a word I'm actually familiar with in Canada. We have it used it there as a noun, and it actually describes where veterans go and their families. It's a legion. It's a large group of people, like it says here, but it's also a place.
Oh, okay.
And you go there to socialize, maybe to play some pool, maybe to have a meal or a drink or something.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think we use it a bit to talk about armies,
mm-hmm.
right? A large group of usually fighters or people charging forward, doing the same thing.
Right, a legion of is going into battle. You're right.
Mm-hmm. And in this case, they're not fighting here. Well, they're sort of fighting. They're fighting for dollars amongst, you know, venture capitalists and things. But in this case, it's young people, millennials, which is a term we've talked about before, but it's a great term. You're going to see a lot in the press over the next 5 years as we shift from Gen X into the millennial
mm-hmm.
generation.
That's right.
1977 or 1980, you'll see two people, you'll see it both ways.
Okay.
Up to the year 2000.
That's the cutoff around 1980.
The years you were born.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Born from around 1980 to around 2000. So those people are digital natives.
I have Two of them, in fact. I have a son and a daughter, and they fall into that group.
They grew up very differently than I did.
Yes, very differently. Very differently than I did, and extremely differently than their grandparents.
You know, they've had cell phones their whole life. They've had the internet for most of their life.
That's right.
They had to get up off of the couch to change the channel on their TV. Or they did not have to do it.
Never did.
We did.
No, we
they did,
did
not.
Yeah.
They don't know what VCRs
That's
are
right.
or cassette tapes.
Yeah. Well, unless There's mom that. And dad took a little while to change things over.
You weren't an early adopter, Lois?
Well, you know what? I remember being the first ones on our street, both sides of the street, to have internet coming into our home.
Oh, wow.
And an old dial-up sound. So my kids were pretty happy to brag about that.
Nice. Well, this is interesting. These tech-savvy, digital native kids growing up in Silicon Valley, they've been surrounded by people who have started their own tech company.
Yeah, good point. Their dads, their neighbors, the people in school, all, as you said before, San Jose and Silicon Valley is just full of people who have ideas about making money in the internet and the digital age. And so these kids, maybe they got a little inspired by what they see around them and they want to do it too.
Yeah, they see that there is very low barrier to entry into doing a lot of these things. They really do. They say, wait a minute, I can start a website, I can build an app, and iTunes will put it online and sell it for me and take a big commission, but this attitude of what's stopping me, right?
Right, and they've been, like you say, tech-savvy, kind of, from the time probably they're about 5 or 6 years old.
It's amazing. So it's happening at a feverish pace. That's a fun phrase, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it sure is.
Very active, showing great excitement, so there's a lot of excitement in the air in Silicon Valley. There's a lot of excitement about the future. What can be accomplished? What kind of money can be made?
And we learn, for our author says, it's hard to find one more inspiring than the girl we're going to meet in this article. So I'm guessing a lot of the startups that are, you know, being started by these young people, they're probably for-profit ventures,
right?
A lot of kids who are excited about selling something or making it big and selling their company for $1 million. But she's a rare one that's doing something to help others. And her name is Sharaya Shivji.
Sharaya Shivji. Now, that's an unusual name.
Sounds Indian to me.
It does to me, too. And judging by the picture on the bottom of page 42, I would guess she's from that part of the world.
Yeah, from
India. Or Pakistan.
Yep.
And she taught herself to program iPhone gaming apps. And this is pretty impressive for a young lady.
Yeah, usually 17-year-olds, they're playing video games or they're, out playing sports. Or this girl has taught herself how to program something. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I'd like my daughter to start doing that.
Oh, kids are learning to code, even at a young age. Yeah. My little guys are already at their school learning early coding language, which is very simple.
Yeah.
It's called Scratch. And it's just an easy coding language, and they're building apps.
Yeah, because my daughter works on AutoCAD all the time, so she's familiar with always being at the computer and having that tech-savvy world around her.
Well, she taught herself not only to build it, but also to get it distributed. And that's a big part of this story, is that it's great that you can build an app that works on someone's phone, but you got to get it out. So she got it posted on the biggest platform out there, the Apple App Store. And then the team is then using them, along with a couple other of ways of raising money, to support this orphanage that she connected with that we'll talk about called Bright Futures Home to support African orphans. That's pretty neat.
Yeah. So as you said, Josh, she's not just designing it, but she's seeing it through, which takes a lot of proactivity on her part. We just saw the word undertook. It doesn't mean just starting something. It means following it through, right? Seeing it through.
And she's using a couple of different tools, right? She's using the App Store. So if you sell an app for 99 cents or $1.99, Apple's going to take 60%, so you're not left with a lot of money at the end of the day. And maybe she had to pay, you know, a designer or somebody to help her with it. But she's also using crowdfunding.
Right. Crowdfunding, I would think a lot of our listeners are familiar with it. We have it in our specialized terms, and it says the practice of getting a large number of people to each give small amounts of money in order to provide the finance for a business project, typically using the internet.
Yeah, we're going to talk about a phrase in the next reading called microloan, and that's the group she connected with called Kiva. And I think we've taught Kiva on the advanced class before. It's a company, a nonprofit organization that allows you to make really small loans to farmers in Africa and entrepreneurs in third world countries.
Yeah, it's incredible. My son was doing that long before I think almost anybody had heard about it. I was so impressed, and then he put it up on his Facebook so everybody would get introduced, and then he got a lot of his, you know, pals to start doing the same thing. So
really cool. But I think the biggest crowdfunding website is called Kickstarter, and that's not necessarily microloans. That's when you just give someone money who you believe in their project.
Right.
You're not loaning them anything.
So you don't expect a return on that?
No. You just believe in, you know, this small movie maker who wants to make a movie for $5,000, and you can give him $50.
I'm doing it with someone right now, Josh, or did last year, who's working with First Nations people in very northern Ontario, Canada.
Okay.
And I got introduced to that from my daughter, and it's a great way of giving. And I don't expect anything back, but I do expect great things. I really believe in this young guy.
Yeah, and the trick with Kickstarter is you only get charged on your credit card if they reach their goal.
Oh, nice.
Fundraising goal. So if they want to raise, you know, $1,000 to start a business, you can pledge $50 or $100. But if they don't raise the full $1,000, then the whole thing, it doesn't work.
Hmm.
It doesn't fly. It
doesn't fly. So they want you to work hard and gain support, and then I think Kickstarter takes a small percentage for operations. But this campaign and this website is called Riziki Toto, which is not a word any of us had heard before. Don't worry. We learn in the sidebar it's a Swahili word combining the Swahili terms self-sustenance and child.
Right. And if you go Google it, the first thing that happens is you actually see the two words separated, because that's what happened to me first, and then I went down a little bit on the Google page. But, it's pretty cool that it has this word meaning, and it has two words here.
She's a creative young girl. And you can go to her website. It's rizikitoto.org. And what are the .org extensions about?
.org? It means...
organization.
The organization, that's right.
Does.
And, you know, I also was curious. I wanted to, when I went to this website, I also did images because I wanted to see what she looked like now, because this article was written probably maybe the beginning of 2014 or mid-2014. She's a very attractive young lady, and she looks like she's very happy, so...
Great. Well, she's raising money for African orphans so that they can become self-sufficient. And when you're self-sufficient, it means you're taking care of yourself. You're meeting your own needs. So she really attaches the gift to helping them learn a skill or to grow in their careers. And they're very young. She's helping a 13-year-old, we read later, become a teacher. So she's not just buying them food, right? She's teaching them to fish instead of buying them a fish.
Giving them a skill, something that can be applied.
Well, it's generated about $1,300, we read, with money from the apps, as well as some support from a nonprofit called Girls Who Code. Do you know much about them, Lois?
Well, I have certainly watched a program on them and done some reading on the internet about them, and it's really giving girls a skill so that they can fill the gender gap, because there's so many more males once we reach adulthood that code compared to females. So if we get girls interested in that, this. They'll grow up and possibly this will be what they do for a living as adult women.
Yeah, and technology, when you think of developers, you just think of guys, right?
Yeah, you do mostly.
Hard to envision a female techie, but they're out there. We meet one today in Shariah Shivji, and she touched the heart of Penny Baziga, right, Steve?
Yeah, Penny Baziga, we see her name on line 3 on the right-hand column, and she is the program director at an orphanage in Africa called Bright Futures Home. And so Penny and Shariah, they have this relationship, and Shariah is helping the orphans in this orphanage.
Right, in the country of Uganda.
Yeah, we learn in the next reading. I know this article is a little bit confusing about, okay, wait, how do they know each other? But it's the next reading, Steve. You actually read. You will tell us that Shariah volunteered at the Bright Futures Home.
Right. And so that's how they met. And that's what inspired Shariah to start doing this, because she had some meaningful interaction with the orphans, and she was very impressed with them, and we'll read about that in a moment.
What a great name, Bright Futures Home. I mm-hmm. like that.
Giving these kids some hope.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ms. Baziga says, I'd write a book if asked to about Shariah. So she is really touched by mm-hmm. her story.
Yeah, enthusiastic.
She says about the love and strong relationship she and her family has with the orphanage. Well, in the tradition of many entrepreneurs, it says, she envisions taking the concept much further.
So she just started. She started to undertake this effort, but she wants to go further. She has dreams for this, to take it further, make it bigger, generate more money to help more orphans.
That's terrific. Well, we're now going to move into a Q&A between our author, Steve Johnson, and Shariah Shivji. Let's hear the first question and answer.
What prompted you to want to help these children? I went to Africa a couple years ago, and my sister and I volunteered at an orphanage in Uganda. I taught them basic stuff like arithmetic. Most of the ones I worked with were 10 and 11. But they range from 6 to 17. It was really great. I just saw the need. The orphans were really talented and really bright. A lot of them could paint. A lot of them had aspirations. One of them wanted to be an engineer. Then, in April of 2014, I became interested in microloans and microfinance. I kind of liked the idea that anyone like me could help, that I could give money to someone across the world.
Well, our first question says, what prompted you to want to help? What's it mean to prompt someone?
Well, to prompt someone is kind of, I always think of it as to push someone or to put a little suggestion maybe in their ear.
Yeah, so what kind of struck her fancy, you could say, to help these kids? And it started with a trip.
Started with a trip to Uganda, and I'm getting the idea that Shariah went with her family. It wasn't a solo trip. She went with them, and she volunteered to help out. She's teaching them. She's interacting with them. And she was really touched by the kids, and so she wanted to give back to these kids something.
Yeah. I'm impressed with her parents.
Yeah.
If they can encourage her or pay her way to send a young person to see the needs and help in a country like Uganda, that's a great experience.
Right. My church back home, they're connected with Uganda and working with an orphanage, and now I'm wondering if it's this one. I should have found out.
Well, they taught the basic stuff there, like arithmetic, which means math, and most of the ones they worked with were 10 and 11, but she says the age range was broader than that. Kids were as old as 17 at this orphanage.
Wow, that surprised me, especially in Africa. I thought maybe they'd be out by maybe 14 or 15.
And the orphans were really talented, right, Steve?
Yeah, they were talented, and they were smart. They could paint, and they had dreams of their own, and one of them wanted to be an engineer. So imagine you go to this place, and there are orphans your age, and these are the same age as Shariah, and she's striking up friendships with these kids, and they have no means to reach their dreams, no resources like she does back home, and so she was inspired to help them.
because they're still dreaming, right? They're not just sitting there, you know, saying, oh, woe is me.
Yeah.
I'm always going to be poor. They're thinking about how they could have careers,
mm-hmm.
how they could, you know, make a difference in the world.
Right, because I think they must be thinking when meeting this young woman, okay, how can I make my life different?
Mm-hmm.
And because my life gets to be different, I can make other people's lives different in a positive sense.
And they have aspirations, which is similar to dreams, right? It's the idea of aspiring to, trying to achieve something in your life. Well, that's what drew Shariah to think about how she could impact their futures. She researched microloans and microfinance, which is what we talked about at the top, the idea of making small loans of, you know, even $50 can make a huge difference to a African farmer or a young girl in Uganda, and that gave her the idea of how she could help even further. And that's what led her to app development and selling her games online, and that's what we're going to talk about in more detail in our lesson tomorrow. So we thank you for joining us for day one of this inspiring innovation article, and hope you'll be back again tomorrow. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, friends.